So, just a few thoughts on that passage from 1 Peter, chapter 3, from verse 13 down to verse 18. And verse 15 we've mentioned a number of times last week and again this week. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. As Bev says, that's the crucial thing, to have Christ central in your life, to revere him as Lord. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's very poignant, isn't it, that Peter talks about giving an answer to everyone who asks you. Peter, who three times failed to do just that when he was asked about his allegiance to Jesus after the Lord had been arrested. You know, I can sense that he still feels disappointed with himself, that when under pressure he let down his Lord. And so here he gives us the motivation to speak up for Jesus, however hard it might be, however challenging our circumstances, however strong the opposition to Christianity there might be in the world in which we live. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now remember that the word hope in the New Testament is not used in the way we use it in everyday conversation nowadays. Like, I hope England will get through to the next stage of the World Cup. That kind of hope is fanciful, I fear. It's waiting for something that we long to happen, but for which we have very little evidence or reason on which to base our hope that it will actually happen. But the Christian's hope is waiting for something that has been promised by God in his word, and is therefore neither vague nor fanciful. Our hope, we're told, is sure and steadfast. It's an anchor for the soul. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we can look beyond this life to the hope of glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the certainty of this hope, the hope of eternal life. And there is reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. It's not fanciful or made up. There's a reason for the hope. It's what Christ has done for us. Peter writes about it in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. That's a great verse, isn't it? Don't you love that verse? In a few words, summing up so much of the central truth of the gospel. And this is our reason for this hope we have, this certain hope we have. What Christ did for us on the cross. We read that Christ suffered once for sins. Christ, the Son of God, the promised Savior, appointed in God's plan to bring salvation to the world. The Son of God, he suffered once for sins. The suffering refers, of course, to his death on the cross. Peter says he was put to death in the body. This was a sacrificial death, motivated by love. This was an awful death of unimaginable agony as he took the punishment for our sins. And he suffered once means that this suffering is sufficient for all time, for all human sin, even mine, even yours. And then Peter writes that he suffered the righteous for the unrighteous. He, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, perfectly and completely righteous, and we human beings with our fallen nature, we are all of us unrighteous. One by one we turn our backs on God, our Creator. We try to live our lives without him. We seek our own ends. We seek our own glory. We don't seek his glory. and our sinful, proud, and stubborn hearts take us away from our Creator, when what we should be doing is seeking Him and drawing close to God, our Heavenly Father. We need to be brought back to God. One by one, personally, individually, we need to come back to our Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus made possible in His suffering for sins on the cross. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. That's what Peter says there. He died the righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. Three things. The suffering of Christ on the cross was undeserved by the one who suffered. It was our punishment that was laid on Him. Secondly, the suffering of Christ was God-ordained. This was the reason why Christ came, to bring us to God through His suffering. And third, the suffering of Christ was the way to the greater glory. Because having dealt with our sins, having been put to death in the body, He was then made alive in the Spirit, rising from the grave in triumph, ascending to heaven, where He now reigns in glory, and to where one day we who trust Him by His grace will go to share in His glory. And this is the gospel, isn't it? Here in verse 18, it's our reason for hope. We have a reason because we know that we're put right with God and accepted by Him, that we look forward to sharing in Christ's glory beyond the grave because Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, and in doing that, He brings us to God. But this verse is more than just the reason for hope. We should put verse 15 and verse 18 into the context. We said that the believers to whom Peter was writing were exiles scattered around various Roman provinces. They were living in an alien world, facing great opposition and going through all kinds of suffering and persecution for their faith. You can see that in verses 13 to 14. Peter recognizes their fear of being harmed. He writes about suffering for doing right. He talks about fearing their threats and being frightened. In verse 16, he writes about people talking maliciously against them and slandering them. And that's the context in which he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope you have. So when he gets to verse 18, he's not just giving them the reason for their hope in Christ, he's also giving them the example of Christ, the example that Christ set in His own suffering as the motivation for what He asked of them in verse 15. Now just imagine how hard it must have been for these believers, surrounded by so much opposition, living in an alien culture, living with suffering, the threat of harm, persecution for their faith, how hard it would be to speak up for Christ. How hard to live out a good Christian life, doing good to others, when all you might get is rejection, malicious comments, even persecution. So Peter says, yes, it is hard. As a believer in Jesus, you may suffer unjustly. But look at what Christ suffered for you. Okay, so you may suffer undeservedly for what you believe and for how you live your life in this alien world. But Christ also suffered for you. To achieve what He achieved, He suffered for you. It's the word also there that makes it clear that Peter is using the example of Christ as a motivation for pressing on in the face of suffering. You are suffering unjustly, yes, but Christ also suffered. He also suffered as a righteous person, unjustly. So this great verse 18 here is the truth of the gospel that gives us the reason for hope, but also it's the motivation to witness for Christ, the motivation of his example, not being put off by the fear of what this alien world might bring upon us. Now, I presume I'm not the only one who is reluctant at times to speak about the reason for the hope that I have, because I am, to put it bluntly, scared. Scared of rejection. Scared of being embarrassed. Scared of being thought a fool. Scared of being scorned, laughed at. Even scared of being at the receiving end of the anger of a militant atheist. But Peter says to me, and he says to all of us, look at what Christ suffered for your sins. How unjust was that? So keep your eyes fixed on the example of Christ and what he's done for us. The righteous suffering for the unrighteous to bring us to God. And that's the way we can overcome our fears. That's the way in which we can be motivated to do that, to do what is right in an alien world, and to speak up for our Lord. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, is the gospel. It's the good news. Christ also suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And we have in that gospel both our reason for hope and the motivation for sharing it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we just pour out our hearts in thanksgiving for your great love to us in giving your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross. Our Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus, even though he was righteous, he was willing to suffer for us, the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Now, Father, we thank you for your grace toward us in Jesus. We thank you that in your mercy you have shown us Jesus and brought us to trust in him and to love him and to follow him. Now, Father, we thank you for the great gospel of the Lord Jesus, that it gives us this sure and certain hope, that we know that in him we are forgiven, that we know that in him we have eternal life, undeserved. We know that in him we have the promise of sharing in his glory as he reigns beyond the grave. Our Father, we thank you that we have this reason for hope in what the Lord Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank you for the wonderful example this is to us, and the way his example can motivate us to do what is right in this world, to live our lives to your glory, and to seek to share the good news of the gospel with others. Our Father, when our hearts tremble at the prospect of speaking up for you, help us to keep our eyes fixed on our Lord Jesus and to remember that he also suffered, but he suffered greater than we could ever imagine, as he suffered once for all the sins of the world, for our sins. And fixing our eyes on his example, our Father, we pray that you will give us courage to speak up, to give the reason for the hope that is within us. We pray that you'll pour out your blessing upon the various mission endeavors that we have in this church at the moment. We think, Lord, of the burning issues next week, the week after, Wednesday week. We pray, Lord, that you will greatly bless that next session and that many people will come along to address the question there. We pray, Lord, for the Who Cares mission that's coming up later in this year. We pray again, Lord, that we will, through this, find opportunities to speak for Christ and to share the great gospel with the world around us. Our Father, we pray that you glorify yourself through this church and grant that the gospel of Jesus will be heard in this, our city and our county. We pray it in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, and to your glory. Amen. Amen.